This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. We hear just a few of those words. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. God's word is truth. We've heard that as redeemed children of God, we are to be making the best use of the time. And the King James Version uses the phrase, redeeming the time. And when you hear that phrase, redeeming the time, what do you think of? It's a strange phrase. We know that we are redeemed from Satan, the corrupt ways of the world, and from sin. We know that it was Jesus who redeemed us from those in hell itself. And that word redeem means to buy back. And Jesus has indeed bought us back from the captivity of sin. And now in response to Jesus redeeming us, we in turn, out of thankfulness, redeem something else. And what we redeem is the time. We buy back our time on this earth that we would have otherwise spent foolishly on the desires of the sinful nature. Now what are you going to do with that time? Well, we are to be wise, not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of God. And people often talk about living the good life. As believers in Christ, God calls us to take a step above that and live the wise life. How are you going to live a wise life? Well, it tells us this in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To understand His will, you must study His word, study Scripture. Learn up on the Lord so that you know His ways and walk in them. And you now live a purpose. And you live with a purpose to bring glory to God, no longer wasting it on the desires of the sinful flesh. And life in His presence brings purpose. And we get to live it. It's pretty exciting once you actually start to think about it. How even in what theologians call the holy ordinary, your everyday life, you get to bring glory to God in all those different tasks that come your way. But it, you know what? It's so easy to fall back into the rut of sin and ruin. That's why in essence we hear, look carefully where you are walking on this journey of life. Why? Well, it's because that sinful nature that lives within us is one of our own worst enemies. And there are times where our hearts turn away from God, and that is called sin. We forget about what God has done for us. From giving to us our daily bread, like the everyday necessities, to giving us something way more important, our heavenly bread. We heard about that in the gospel reading today. At times, that sinful nature leads us to care only about what we can do for ourselves. We seek the foolish life of selfishness and sin. Every lie, every dishonorable deed, when one lives a hollowed out life claiming integrity but living out a shell of hypocrisy. You know, everything we do to degrade others, that's just the foolish life that leads us away from God. When we walk away from God, we close the door to our hearts and let the darkness of sin fill the chamber of our souls. I wonder how often our sins make the angels cry. Has not God given us all things? We come into the world with nothing, and God has blessed us with everything, with all of our gifts and abilities, right down to our family, to our salvation. But because of that sinful nature, we are so prone to turn from God, the giver of all good things. Yeah, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Yes, redeem the time. The days are evil. That world is working on you to focus on the world instead of you focusing on God. What are you going to do when you're hard-pressed by evil, by trouble, by hardship? Where are you going to turn to when life gets rough? Well, some turn to alcohol, trying to erase the pain and the hurt, the Apostle Paul addresses this. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. God's not advocating that we get drunk with beer or hard alcohol instead. What he's saying is debauchery, wild living, drunkenness is a sin of any stripe. For a while, I was a bartender in college. One person comes to mind in particular. Never saw him before except for this one day. And then after that one day, it appeared like every time I would work, he was there for at least a stretch of 3 to 4 hours. The head bartender one day went over to him and said, you need to go home to your family. It was a realization. This man had hurt and troubles and hardship. Instead of talking through those, instead of working through those, he was just fleeing to the bar and getting drunk there. And that wasn't doing anything except for making problems worse. After that time that the head bartender had that talk with him, I didn't see him again. My prayer is that he went home and worked through any hardship that he had. Right? For some, alcohol is a cheap psychologist. Instead of sitting on a leather couch, you're sitting on a bar stool. Instead of sitting in a church pew, we're going to Jim Beam. Huh. You see, they turn to booze to numb their soul instead of the wonderful counselor to soothe and heal their soul. And drunkenness doesn't solve problems. It just makes you possibly forget about them until the next day. And the delay encourages the pain and the hurt to grow deeper roots. And it's a vicious cycle that won't stop until you stop. And after the hangover, the problems, they're not over. They're still there. My friend, you're filled with the wrong spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is not me trying to make you to be a pretty show pony. This is not me trying to say, you know, we got to get rid of all type of alcohol. I mean, when you think about it, the first miracle that Jesus did was to change water into wine. Wine is not a sin. Beer is not a sin. You know, hard liquor is not a sin unless it goes into drunkenness and debauchery, and then it transforms into sin. And this is God trying to get your life together and your faith on the right track for eternity. Right? We're justified by faith, not justified by drunkenness. Finally, some people treat alcohol like a means of grace, but it isn't. Well, where are we to turn to? We turn to God. We get to go to the throne room of God in prayer. And the book of Romans tells us how the Holy Spirit helps us to bear through the evil days. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we do not know what we ought to pray for. Have you ever been there at that point? The book of Romans chapter 8 continues. It says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. For the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God uses even those dark, evil days for good. And that's his promise. We might not always be able to figure out how, but God does. You know, when our souls are pierced by the law of God, when we are led to repent, and Scripture tells us that there is much rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. At that moment, the door to our heart is once again opened to God. God once again brings us to feast with him. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to those who sorrow over their sins, believers. He says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. This is speaking about fellowship with the author and finisher of our faith, and that is restored by a loving God who forgives sins. The drunkenness, the lies, the dishonor, every form of foolishness is paid for in full by Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And he doesn't make these sins acceptable. I think some people try to reason that out, that if Jesus died on the cross to pay for all sin, that doesn't really matter what we can do, that Jesus somehow sanctifies sin. But brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not the case. Jesus does not make sin okay. He makes you okay. He hasn't sanctified sin. He has sanctified you. He has set you apart from sin. And that's the mercy of God. He has paid for those sins in full by his divine blood. God forgives you. God strengthens you and gives you purpose. And build up that new creation that you are by God's grace, and let God's word sink into your heart. Be in Bible study and family devotions. Let it become a part of who you are. A daily part. Let God speak to you. Living wise in the ways of God will follow. You see, God's word changes you. It produces a heart that is close to God and isn't ashamed to show it. Verses 19 and 20, it says this, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. What a beautiful words. How can your heart sing? How can your heart make a melody to the Lord? It tells us this, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this speaks of worship as a congregation and living out a life of praise. Redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity to learn about our gracious God and to live with thankfulness and praise, that is how you redeem the time. And Jesus has indeed redeemed us. And in response to being redeemed, and with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, redeem the time. Amen.